Next, we're going to talk about statutory defenses a tenant may have to a landlord's eviction action. Why don't we start out with the retaliatory eviction? What does that mean, Eric?
Well, this is the third type of defenses that a tenant can assert. We've already talked about procedural and equitable defenses. Now we're into statutory defenses. Ohio Revised Code 5321.02 prevents a landlord from initiating an eviction action against a tenant because the tenant has done certain things. Those certain things would be maybe to have organized other tenants in the building into a tenant's union, or to have complained to the landlord about the need for repairs, or to have even complained perhaps to a government agency like the code inspector or something like that, or the building inspector. The landlord cannot use that as a basis for an eviction. If the court becomes comes to the belief that the landlord is merely just retaliating against the tenant for calling in the government or for complaining about the problems with the apartment in some other way, then the landlord, then the court is not going to allow the landlord to go forward on the eviction.
All right. I guess another issue is the rent escrow issue.
Well, in that, sometimes when a tenant does complain about a landlord's failure to fix things around the apartment, if the landlord does not fix things promptly, then the tenant can begin to escrow his rent with the clerk of courts. And if the rent is properly escrowed with the clerk of courts, the landlord cannot use that fact as a basis for an eviction. The landlord can't come in and say, well, hey, I didn't get the rent, so therefore that's a basis for an eviction. No, the court is going to say, no, we've got the rent, and we will decide when it gets released to the landlord.
To follow up on that, it's not as easy as just the tenant, depositing the money with the court. I mean, there's a certain procedure that has to be followed by the tenant for this to be proper, right?
That's right. Ohio Revised Code 5321.04 defines the landlord's duties to the tenant. It says a lot of things, but primarily it basically says that the landlord will put and keep the premises in a fit and habitable condition. If there is a violation of that, then the tenant needs to notify the landlord in writing of the problem. And once the landlord has notice of the problem, then he's got 30 days or a reasonable amount of time, whichever is sooner. So the longest the landlord can take is 30 days, but the court could say that it's quicker than that, to fix this problem. And if the landlord does not fix the problem within that period of time, then the tenant has one of three options. One option is to escrow the rent with the clerk of courts and just pay the rent from then on to the clerk of courts. The clerk of courts will notify the landlord, hey, you may have noticed you didn't get the rent for apartment A at 123 East Main Street. The reason for that is that we got the rent because the tenant escrowed it with us. The landlord cannot then go down to the court and say, okay, I'm evicting the tenant for escrowing his rent. Now, another thing that we need to think about, too, on an eviction is Ohio Revised Code 5321.17 defines how a month-to-month tenancy is ended. And if you are if you have a month-to-month tenancy with a tenant in your building, and you decide you want that tenant out, you've got to give that tenant 30 days notice that you want him to leave before you can post your 3-day notice to vacate. And another tricky part about that, calculating that 30 days, is that the 30 days only begins to run from the beginning of the next rental period. Let's look at an example of that. Let's say on March 15th, let's say the tenant pays rent on the first of every month and that the tenant moved in on the first of the month on this month-to-month agreement. On March 15th, you decide you don't want the tenant there anymore, so you send a letter to the tenant saying, I want you out, here's your 30 days notice. Now, most landlords would think, okay, that means April 15th, that's when I can post my 3-day notice to vacate and start the eviction process. No, that's not true. You've got to wait until the beginning of the next rental period before you start counting the number of days that you have to give the notice. So therefore, you have to wait till April 1st, And that's when your 30-day clock starts to run. So, and of course, the tenant has to pay for all of April's rent. But the tenant stays through April, and then now on May 1st, if the tenant is still there, now you can start your eviction process. Now you can hang your 3-day notice to vacate, and then after that time is up, then you can go down and file your notice with the clerk of courts. So that can be a statutory defense that the tenant would use as well, that if you did not give the full 30 days notice from the beginning of the next rental period before you posted your 3-day notice, then you're going to be out of luck.
And finally, you had mentioned as far as under our potential statutory defenses to an eviction, you had mentioned drug activity.
Right. A landlord does not want to have a tenant in his apartment that is conducting drug activity for a very, very good reason. If the government can prove that the landlord is accepting rent that comes from the proceeds of drug activity, then the government can bring a lawsuit called a forfeiture action against the landlord, whereby the ownership of the building would then become vested in the state of Ohio. So you don't want that to happen. So if you have a suspicion that your tenant is dealing drugs, you want them out of there. However, the eviction statutes provide that the landlord must prove certain things if he is evicting the tenant for drug activity. And your failure to prove these certain things would stop your eviction action, so it is in the nature of a defense. The first thing that the landlord has to prove is actual or reasonable cause, is actual knowledge or reasonable cause to believe that there is drug activity. And that must be proven in the following 7 methods. All of these have to be shown in evidence. First, you have to show that there was a search warrant issued. Second, that the affidavit to get the warrant names the tenants and that you're seeking to evict and describes the apartment that you're seeking to evict them from as the apartment to be searched. It also has to name the controlled substances in the affidavit. It has to state the offense that the tenant is guilty of or thought to be guilty of. It has to state the factual basis for the person drafting the affiant's, the person drafting the affidavit's belief. So the police officer has to put in his basis for why the judge would grant the warrant, which they always do. The warrant has to be properly executed. And then lastly, the 7th element is that the landlord has to be informed by the law enforcement officer that the tenant is suspected. So now you can establish all of that through your own testimony. And as long as you can show that all these things are there, then you can go ahead and get the eviction on that basis. And there may be other parallel reasons why you would want the tenant out. Maybe the tenant also failed to pay rent. If that's the case, then you don't even need to get into all this. You can just assert the failure to pay rent, and that's good enough for your eviction action.
Now, in looking over those 7 factors, it appears that you only have to show that you suspect that the tenant is involved in drug activity, not that you actually have to show that what the results of the search was, or that the tenant is actually guilty of drug activity.
Yes, a finding of guilt is not necessary for an eviction here. What you have to show are those 7 things.